What's poppin', man? It's Audio Al, and you're listening to Hidden Oaks Overdose Football Fix, right here on YouTube, Spotify, or any of your favorite streaming apps.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Hidden Oaks Overdose Football Fix podcast. I am one of your lovely hostesses, the Garlic Johnson. We are joined, as always, by our other lovely hostess, the Joshua Mitchell. Josh, say hi to the folks out there.
Hi, folks.
We greatly appreciate when everyone can, interact with us on Discord. We also love a cheeky little voicemail every now and again, though it has been a bit. We appreciate all the fan contributions when we can get them. Hello, Carmel Bear. I'm sure you were here very intentionally, and you will listen intently to this whole episode. But you can also listen live on Discord. Another nice little fun feature. You can listen live as we record, if that is of interest to you. But we love people who can interact with us mainly through our Discord. I don't think there's going to be segment start times down in the description below, because I'm not even sure we have rigid segments tonight. So that's the way she goes. Otherwise, this is a more loosey-goosey summer pod. Let's get right into Josh. How you durn?
Hi, durn. How you durn?
Josh, wait. You don't sound like you're durn, okay? You sound like you're durn, okay? What's up? What's wrong with you?
Well, I'm still trying to figure out the notes for the thing. It's a process and a half that I just started, an hour ago.
Wow. This is kind of the way she goes. We're just loosey-goosing it, Josh. It's the fucking middle of drought. Like your first bullet point here, news drought. But no updates in the personal life? The people haven't heard from you in a month. The people that listen to the pod don't interact with you anywhere else, I guess.
No, not really. Still here, suckers.
Are people plotting against you? Have people been making advances against your life?
Not secretly.
Oh, so okay. I don't know if I'm getting a straight answer out of you, but that sounds good. Carmel Bear did hit us back in the podcast specific chat. He said, "I love podcasts and things about podcasts, but not football." Carmel Bear, well, we love Carmel, but not Bears. So just want to let that be known. But yeah, Josh, it's the middle of the June. Last time we were here, we talked about Dynasty. We really dove into Dynasty and the players and the different formats of Dynasty. And we weren't really sure what we wanted to talk about. We knew we wanted to talk about football. And honestly, I think the most work I put into this pod today was kind of the question that Micah had posed in the chat this morning. So I don't know if he just knew. He magically knew exactly what what we were going to talk about. But what he put in the chat this morning was... So, question for all. The Steelers always get a great rap for drafting wide receivers, the best in the last 15 years, yada, yada, yada. So, he was asking us to look into that. But I know you also wanted to do this build-a-player thing. You wanted to start with quarterbacks, and then we talked about we would also build the receiver. So, I guess, which avenue would you prefer to go down first? Do you want to build a player? Do you want to talk about the teams with the best drafted receivers since the year 2000, since the turn of the century? Where do you feel like your effort was best put in, and where do you think you'll shine the most? Because I think we should start with you shining, Josh.
Well, I think that I could shine throughout the entire podcast. And so going up to, I think we can go with Micah's question here, because we all know that his attention span is probably like mine, and he's going to fizzle out about 6 minutes in. So we'll start with his question.
All right. So I kind of blah-blahed the end of it. So what he said was, the Steelers always get a great rap for drafting wide receivers, the best in the last 15 years, which we then amended to the last 23 years, but under their old GM, which was I was going to say Stephen Colbert, but it's something Colbert. It's not Mr. Colbert, but the same last name. But I want to know who everyone believes drafted the best receivers over that time span, because whilst they were good at it, Antonio Brown is really elite. The rest comprise of Emmanuel Sanders and Mike Wallace et al. So, Josh, I went through, I opened up a spreadsheet, or I guess I didn't open up a spreadsheet. I found someone had this really, really crude website, but it was perfect for copying and pasting into Excel. So, honestly, I love them for it.
Which website you're talking about.
Yeah, exactly. It's like it's a website probably from the 80s or the 90s or whatever, before the Y2K situation. But it's super convenient. I think they have every wide receiver ever drafted ever. So I just copied and pasted down through the year 2000. And we have almost 800 players drafted. Then I added some undrafted free agents. During my research, I found it really troubling that I couldn't really find a solid resource for better, like more notable or more mid-tier like wide receivers, because obviously there's the studs like we know about there. Like Wes Welker was an undrafted stud. Adam Thielen, more of a hometown guy, but he's kind of made a national name for himself at this point. But as far as other undrafted wide receivers, like the mid-tier guys, like I had to look really hard. Like Alan Hearns was a guy who almost made the bubble, but I didn't write him down. I think Doug Baldwin, who played a pretty pivotal role for the Seahawks during their two back-to-back Super Bowl appearances, like that's a good example of an undrafted mid-tier guy that I think deserves credit for receivers. But there wasn't really any resources that just kind of list out, you know, undrafted good, you know, undrafted free agent players. So that, you know, I feel like we're definitely going to maybe miss some names, but that was the toughest part in the research for me. But yeah, we've got a list of almost 800 players here. I guess, what are your initial thoughts, Josh? I've been rambling here for a bit. You looked at the same list. You've probably played around on the spreadsheet that I created earlier today. Were you surprised by, you know, some of the things you saw? Maybe the sheer volume of receivers that have been drafted? Or I guess, what are just your thoughts on the list themselves and how you kind of went about, you know, answering that question for yourself? Josh?
Yeah. Sorry, I was clicking a button and, you know, brain not working here. So, I kind of went through it round by round because obviously, you know, if you draft a wide receiver in the first round, you're hoping that they're solid. Like, you don't want to waste a first round pick on a receiver that's going to bust, or, you know, any player that's going to bust for that matter. That being said, I had gone to a different site and to check the success rate of first round wide receivers. And since 2000, and I believe this was updated in 2019, so a few years out, but then again, you know, we're not going to judge the career of a wide receiver based off of their first, you know, 2 or 3 years. If you use first team, or if you use first team all pro selections, only 9 of 77 first round wide receivers have qualified, and only 8 were as wide receivers. Cordarrelle Patterson made the first team all pro as kickoff returner. If you use Pro Bowl selections, only 21 of the first round wide receivers have done that. So 21 of the 77, you know, like I said, 2019. So you don't get the, or 2019. So you don't get like, Justin Jefferson, Ja'Marr Chase. So there has been a boom in those wide receivers. I'm guessing that that number is higher now, but for those, you know, 19 years, only 9
still,
having
like 7. 10, yeah, it's like 5 to 10% depending on which statistic you're looking at. Like, that's insane.
And that's just first rounders. Yeah. So, and, you know, so those are the ones that you want to hit. And so that was something that I looked at. And so typically if I were to, when I did my whole ranking of teams, kind of where they're at, I looked more at the mid to late rounds and didn't necessarily, and obviously took the first rounds into consideration because there are some all world talents at, in the first round. And so I think that where the Steelers get their kind of love is because Antonio Brown was a 6th round wide receiver.
Sure.
And, you know, he's a polarizing figure. Martavis Bryant.
Without question.
Martavis Bryant is a 4th rounder. He was okay for him. Deontay Johnson's a 3rd rounder. Marcus Wheaton is a guy that I recognize his name because he's his last name makes bread. Emmanuel
Brad's
Sanders.
Favorite kind of beer, in fact. The golden
Emmanuel
Wheaton.
Sanders, Mike Wallace, George Pickens, Chase Claypool, James Washington. I mean, there's a lot of recency bias with a lot of these. And you had mentioned like 1 year wonders. And I would consider, you know, Juju one of those, Chase Claypool one of those. And so I think that a lot of it is going to be focusing on the fact that Antonio Brown is, you know, polarizing. He was when he was on the Steelers. I wouldn't say that they're like a top five team, but they're okay. I mean, you're not going to hit on every wide receiver you take.
Right. I mean, so yeah, I mean, that, I think that's a great segue though into the next little bit here. So, I guess what did you all define as a hit? Cause I know you were talking about in the beginning about how you had, you know, you're talking about how, what low percentage of guys hit Pro Bowls or all pros, which obviously all pros, that's only what, 2 players a year, 3 players a year. You know, and that's, I guess that's first team. There's also second team all pro. So, I guess for wide receivers, it'd be maybe what, 4 a year between first and second team. I think they just do 2 receivers per. I'm not sure. Maybe it's 3. Anyways, it's either 4 or 6 players a year. So, I mean, it's a very... the question I'm trying to get to is, what do you define as a hit? Of course, you're not going to hold everyone to the standard of, you know, a high bar. And so I know I definitely, when I was, you know, when I was tracking my hits or misses as far as, like, names I recognize, I was definitely using half points sometimes. Like, this guy was more of a 1 or 2 year wonder. This guy was, you know, I recognized the name, but he was, you know, he's definitely not a stud. He was not a, you know, Randy Moss, Devontae Adams caliber player, but he was less than, but he still contributed plenty. So I guess, what did you, you know, because kind of what we both did is we just looked at the list for both teams. We were just like, all right, I recognize this name. This player's a hit. This, for me, I sometimes have went, this player's half a hit, or maybe these four players all add up to like being contributing one hit or one half a hit, depending. You know, sometimes the volume will get you too, because you need depth at receiver as well. But how did you define hits? Because we'll get into that, and that's how we kind of rank the teams on, you know, receivers that hit and didn't hit. So what did you count as a hit? Was it just the names? Did you give like 2 points for those all pros, or how'd you score this all out?
Well, I definitely did not go that deep, because I just kind of looked through the list. I didn't even get through all the teams.
It looks like you did.
Well, I mean, those are the names that I know with the X's that I made. And so I wouldn't say that the hit percent of volume isn't like a good hit on a pick. It's just hits on names that I recognize. And so as far as my overall master list, I kind of looked at, you know, like the depth of everything, the consistency. So obviously a little bit of a homerism here, but Packers are all in this conversation as well for wide receivers
I
in
got Packers up
middle
there.
Rounds.
Oh, yeah.
And so it's a little bit of a homerism for my sake, because for me, it was more so looking at the... not necessarily, because obviously we all know the whole no skill position in the first round since, you know, Rodgers. And so... you're not going to find a first rounder in there. Javon Walker was the last one in 2002 for wide receiver, and he was not that good. I mean, Greg Jennings, mid to late second rounder. James Jones, mid third rounder. Jordy Nelson, early second rounder. Randall Cobb, last pick in the second round. Devontae Adams, mid to late second rounder. Jared Aberderis, hell yeah, a household name, fifth rounder. And so those are kind of like the big names. Marquez Valdes-Scantling. Now I got lost in the... MVS, he's on there. But, I mean, there's been a lot of misses, too. Like, if you look at their, like, draft picks from, like, the fifth, sixth, seventh round, those are literally just dart throws. So it's not like they've hit, like, a... or they've never really had a huge hit like Antonio Brown or even Stephon Diggs. He was a fifth rounder as well.
Yep.
Now I'm really drawing a blank. New England Patriots. Julian Edelman, he was a seventh rounder. So go. It's like they're just more in that second to third round. Now, if we were doing offensive linemen, we could just take every fourth round draft pick from Green Bay and they'd be all pros.
Okay.
But with the wide receivers, so they're more in the, you know, the day two wide receivers is where they really thrive. And it's like if they only had like Devontae Adams or Jordy Nelson on this list, then it would be like a... But they've got, you know, three or four more names on there that contributed mightily in their Super Bowl run, as well as when players went down. You know, the Jeff Janises, the MVSs he was in when people went down, and then Jared Aberderis as well. So those guys, that's one of the things that I looked at, was just more so like the consistency of their picks. Green Bay has a lot of volume for their draft at wide receiver in later rounds. They don't take them early, but they take them often.
I mean, I was going to say, in terms of volume, because that was a stat I put together, I think the Packers are the team that took the most wide receivers of anyone. So, I mean, the more, you know, almost the Rick Spielman method, the more lottery, you know, the more lottery tickets you have, the more swings you take at receiver, the more hits you'll have is, you know, it's just math at that point, right? So I generally don't call you out for this too much, because I think we obviously both recognize our bias. I do think you might have gotten a little bit too much homerish with the, looking at your Josh's 3-5 spreadsheet here, I see you have the Packers have 21 names you recognize, which of course you recognize all the Packers names because you're a fan of them, but... you know, I guess we're not going to sit here and dissect every team, but we're going to talk about probably our top five-ish teams. Who were some of your top teams? And then we'll kind of break those down a little bit further and go through the receivers and the value and all that.
Yeah, so I only got like the top three teams that I kind of got a chance to look at real quick.
Sure.
And I would argue that there's probably three more teams that could be put in this top three that I don't name, but I had Green Bay in there, homerism. Cincinnati, you're welcome, Micah, and then Seattle Seahawks. So okay. I think that those three teams are kind of like my top three. I don't know. I guess I didn't even look at yours to see how you had graded things, but I would say, like, I'm looking at yours now and I see that you have, I'm guessing, Steelers, Colts, Bengals, Vikings, Packers.
Yeah, I mean, I guess if mine's not ordered right to you, but yeah, my number one team is the Steelers, and then I have the Packers in second, the Colts in third, the Vikings in fourth, and the Bengals in fifth. Those are my top five teams.
Okay. Is that the based on the hit percent or your
Correct.
Score?
Yeah,
based
what I determined as a hit, again, you know, I didn't give everyone a full point. I gave some players a half point, or if I saw, you know, 3 to 4 mid-tier guys, like, okay, you guys are worth half a point, you guys are worth a full point, or not even mid-tier, but lower-tier guys. But, you know, still names you recognize. You're like, this guy had a really important player, this guy had a really important game or two that you vaguely remember. But it was, I mean, it was close. So, like, I definitely didn't give out Dole out as many hits. For me, I have the Steelers. They were unequivocally first. They had seven hits, quote unquote, which again doesn't mean seven actual stud players, but you know, they're, you know, in fact, I can just start going through the players specifically if you want. But Steelers were first with 7 hits for me, Packers were second with 6.5, and then the Colts, Vikings, Bengals, they were all tied for third, I guess, with 6 hits. And then I did some, you know, I did a little value calculation roughly, and then also the hit percentage versus their volume, which the Colts for me had the highest hit percentage based on volume. They only took 18 receivers in the past 23 years, which was the least of any team, I believe, roughly looking at my list, and they hit on 6 of them, so that's 33% hit rate, so that's pretty good. Whereas the Packers only hit on 17.6% for me, but you know, that's out of 37, that's out of the most, so you know, that's just kind of the way she goes. But yeah, those are my top 5 teams: the Steelers, Packers, Colts, Vikings, and Bengals.
Yep, and you had already called me out on my hit percentages, and that's not what I think as a hit, as a successful wide receiver.
Sure.
And those are just names that I recognized.
No, you're good. I'm guessing you have a list somewhere else or something, or you took notes for yourself elsewhere, I guess, because I don't know which teams you looked at specifically, but yeah, I'm just going off what I see right here.
Oh, yeah, no, I have a copy of the spreadsheet because I didn't want to make up marks and stuff.
Oh, no, you're good.
But yeah, so I'm trying to compare yours to what I had said, because I had Seattle up there and you had Seattle kind of top 10-ish.
Yep, Seattle would be number 11, I guess, for me. Yep.
Okay, yeah, Falcons were up there for me, Broncos, 49ers, Giants, I guess, is surprising. No, never mind, I'm thinking of something else. I also did 3 teams that when I looked at their drafts, I was like, what the hell were they thinking? Names I recognize, but names that I recognize that I should not have recognized, or for reasons that should not be recognized. And so I don't know if you did anything like that, but
I did. But that sounds like great content.
I did want to point out that the Bills are on that list.
What the hell were they thinking?
Yeah, like the Bills. When it comes to drafting wide receivers, they should just stick to trading for them. and so. When you look at kind of the draft that they had, names I recognize. Robert Woods is probably the best one on that whole list, but Gabe Davis could make a push for being the best wide receiver drafted by the Buffalo Bills, in my memory at least. Marquise Goodwin, he's a guy that plays for, or that got drafted by that team, not necessarily a good player. Sammy Watkins, we all remember him. He came to Green Bay for a little bit. He didn't do much. I think he got hurt getting off the plane. and then, you know, Zay Jones, who was there for, what, 1 year and then left. That's kind of the extent of their draft, or their draft history that I recognize. Another team that I think is just absolute dog trash. And I honestly, they were in my top 3. And then I looked at some of their other picks, and now they're in my bottom 3. They were my top 3 because I looked at one pick from the 2012 supplemental draft, and they took Josh Gordon in that draft. But then the rest of their wide receivers are legitimately absolute doo-doo pants. I'm talking, you know, Corey Coleman, Rashad Higgins, Antonio Callaway, Donovan Peoples-Jones. I guess we'll see. Jury's still out on 2020 and later.
Yeah.
But, yeah, that's another team that I think is ishy. And then Jacksonville. You'd think that, you know, you'd think that they'd do okay. I 2014 with Allen Robinson. I guess Marquise Lee wasn't too bad, but they took Justin Blackmon, who as a number 5 overall. I don't think he played down in the NFL. They took a guy named Matt Jones in 2005. Don't even know if I've seen him play. Don't know much about him, but you could just tell by that name. It's a very generic white name. D.D. Westbrook, he is a specialized returner. He was a 4th-round draft pick, so not that big deal. D.J. Chark didn't even like the team. He's not there. Laviska Shenault, not there. They're not a team that I think is just a struggle bus when it comes to drafting wide receivers.
Yeah, I mean, it could be. That's just the way she goes. You know, one player to think about for them again was Allen Hurns. He had, maybe one good year, one and a half good years, but I didn't even count them for them. I agree that the Jaguars were, I think they're like bottom 10 on my list.
Yep, and Browns are bottom 5 on your list.
Yeah, I had Buccaneers at the absolute worst. They had only Mike Evans was the only hit I gave them. I was like, that's it. I'm not giving you Scotty Miller. I'm not giving you nothing else. What's that?
You didn't think Godwin's good?
I don't know if he's been consistent enough for me. Maybe I'd give him a half point for Chris Godwin, but I guess I don't even remember seeing him on the list. I did also go this very quickly. For some reason, I thought he was traded there, but
Tyler Johnson?
No, you're not. Josh, do not gaslight me right now, okay?
What about Aaron Lockett?
All right, I will give them. I disrespected the Buccaneers. I will give Buccaneers 2 points now. I'm sorry. Now the Commanders are in the last place. Chris Godwin.
How many points did you give Laquon Treadwell?
0.
How many points did you give Troy Williams?
0. Do we just want to start breaking down our top teams here, Josh, or what?
Yeah, sure. Go ahead.
All right.
Well, you can. I already kind of broke down mine a little bit.
Sure. I mean, no, I'm going to go player by player. I'm going to try and justify my score live on the pod. And then, I can be pulled apart by you. I can be pulled apart by Mick. I can be pulled apart by whoever. I just need to scroll here for a wee bit to get to the Steelers. So I gave the Steelers a total of 7 hits for me. Again, it's not 7 single players, but I gave Plaxico Burress. Plaxico Burress wasn't terrible, even if he shot himself. So that's 1. And then Santonio Holmes, I believe I gave him 2 for that. So they're up to 2 full points already. Mike Wallace was a good player. That's 3. Emmanuel Sanders, I did take their whole career. Emmanuel Sanders did go on to the Broncos and do well as well. So I'm not going to hold that against the Steelers. They drafted him. They saw the talent. So I believe we're already up to 5. Maybe I only gave him a half point for Santonio Holmes. But Antonio Brown's obviously a full point, so that's 6. And then just kind of between Juju, Martavis Bryant, Deontay, all these other players, I just kind of rounded up. But they've had some, I understand why the people talk about the Steelers. I mean, these are some big names. Plaxico Burress, Antonio Holmes, Mike Wallace, Emmanuel Sanders, Antonio Brown. Some of the more recent ones, like you talked about, James Washington, Deontay, Chase Claypool, George Pickens, who knows. But, that's why the Steelers are my number one team. They really seem like they've got it down. And that's a 28% hit percentage. They've drafted 25 receivers since... I've drafted 25 receivers since the year 2000, so that's just slightly more than 1 a year and 7 hits. That's pretty darn good in my book. So, do you have anything else to add about the Steelers? I know you said they weren't even in your top 5, but I mean, hard to argue with some of this name recognition at the very least.
Yeah, but do you recognize the names because they're any good, or do you recognize the name because they're people that were played with in Madden, because that team was kind of a cheating team when you could just throw the ball up to Mike Wallace, who ran deep routes. Martavis Bryant, did you give him a point? Because he only played 44 games in his career.
We've talked about 1 or 2 season wonders for sure. I mean, I don't think he got a full point, no, but he was part of the compilation of like, all right, these, lump all these mid-tier guys together. They're worth a point.
Okay. Well, yeah, no, it's okay. Okay. I'm sorry, I can't type and talk at the same time. But
why are you doing so much typing? What are you possibly typing?
Well,
right
I'm
now?
Trying to dispute you. No. Yeah, I guess whatever. One hit wonders. That's kind of. I would. Yeah, that's probably about all he was.
I mean, that means they drafted either a talented player or the player raised to the opportunity they had. Like if they're able to produce a one hit wonder, still, I think the team deserves credit for drafting that player. It's like, all right, this player again, he either next man up. He's like, all right, he took the best of his opportunity, or he had a lot of talented and he flashed, and then he had character issues or something else that you can only control so much for when you're drafting. But if they produced on the field, it's hard to argue that the scouts and the GM don't get credit for that, right? So that's at least my philosophy.
All right. So then you gave Josh Gordon a point.
Yeah, for sure. Josh Gordon got a point.
Hell yeah, brother. All right. Your list is redeemed.
All right. Second on my list, I guess, do you have anything else to say about the Steelers? Or else we move on?
No.
All right. Obviously, you're a big homer, and the Packers, I don't even think I can fit them all on one page. I think I might have to do a little bit of scrolling for the Packers because they took so many fucking receivers. But, I mean, again, it has return results for them, so I'm not here to necessarily pull them down. It's just inconvenient for me right now doing this bit. But I had the Packers at 6.5 hits. I'm sure you're going to argue with me why that's not enough, but I gave them half a point for Javon Walker just because that's a, you know, that's a name. You know, and obviously not the greatest, but when you take someone in the first round, you hope for the best. Greg Jennings, obviously good player, not top tier player, but I mean, we're drafting him, you know, pick 50, 52, whatever that is. You're like, all right, Greg, let's produce here. And then James Jones, I think I gave half a point to. He was never a top tier guy, but he definitely produced when he needed to. He's definitely a good producer as he needed to. Jordan Nelson, obviously great. Randall Cobb, good. Davante Adams, absolute stud at the end of the second. And I think I just kind of rounded up, you know, Equiminius, MVS, Christian Watson, Romeo Dubs. You know, you don't want to give those guys full points just yet, especially the Christian Watson, the Romeo Dubs, but they do look promising. So, I mean, that's kind of how I get to 6.5. You know, it's definitely a couple studs here, don't get me wrong. And then, you know, a couple mid-tier guys and then a bunch of filler is kind of how I see it. But important filler as well. So I don't want to dismiss them. But I guess, you know, you've already talked about the Packers. But you already know, you mentioned Jeff Janis. Like, the only reason I wanted to argue with you, not even argue, but just kind of push back on you a bit is like when Eric's or Mika hear names like Jeff Janis, I know I recognize it. I know you recognize it. I feel very confident that's not a name that they would recognize. So it's just, you know, trying to control the homerness. But, you know, of someone on this list, who do you think is really an unsung hero that more people should get more name recognition, I guess, from the people who wouldn't normally give a fuck about the Packers otherwise?
Oh boy, you kind of put me on the spot here because I was not ready for that question. I was playing Galaxy Quest. No, I wasn't. I don't have that game anymore. So looking at the Packers, unsung hero.
I mean, you could argue it is Jeff Janis. You mentioned him earlier. You mentioned
he's definitely not. He was like a one-play wonder.
Okay. I mean, who was the guy you said was important for the Super Bowl run? Who was that?
I was just going to say, I mean, James Jones is pretty important in that. Greg Jennings was. I mean, but I think that people know him and know that he's good, but I don't think people realize just how good Jordy Nelson was for the Packers.
Sure.
Like, he was the guy in Green Bay for the longest time.
Undenied connection, for sure.
Yeah, yeah. And then, I mean, that it was nice and it was good because when he came back in 2016 after that ACL tear that Pittsburgh gave him because it was preseason and that field is absolutely atrocious. And I hate I hate Mika, but that's just because his house is in an area with spiders. But I hate Eric's because his team's field killed Jordy Nelson's 2015 season. But I mean, yeah, he was really solid for Green Bay. White Lightning, the original, the only White Lightning. It's actually on his Pro Football Reference as his nickname, which is kind of fun. And so I think that, yeah, he gets a recognition, like people recognize him, but he was really good for Green Bay.
Okay. And then one more question I have for you, because I was also trying to look at, because I mentioned to Mick, I was going to try and break the ties I had with volume, which I didn't have. I had ties for third there, but... like, I know you really emphasize getting value in, like, the mid rounds, but do you really think that, you know, like, obviously when you draft a receiver in the second round, whether it's Greg Jennings, or, like, obviously Davante Adams way far, far exceeded what he was trying to do, but Greg Jennings or Randall Cobb, like, guys you're drafting, you know, between 50 and 80 or 50 and 60, whatever it is, 50 and 80, I guess. Like, you expect those guys to be decent players. Like, you don't draft a wide receiver in the second or third round. So, I guess, do you feel like I'm not trying to say you're wrong, but I guess I'm just trying to maybe defend yourself or maybe come around to, do you really think that they were that valuable? Certainly they produced maybe above their draft spot, but of course when you're drafting a player in the second or third round, you expect them to be pretty good. So I only gave the Packers like a 3.5 out of 5, which again, I kind of started at 3 and then just went up and down. Like Javon Walker, you probably didn't get what you wanted. And then Davante Adams way exceeded. And then, you know, I would say Greg Jennings probably performed well for, you know, a mid-second round pick. Jordan Nelson definitely exceeded. I mean, he was, you know, pick 36. That's still pretty good. That's a very high pick. You know, did he overperform pick 36? Probably. But, you know, that's, I'd say the value is more expected than not there. But, I mean, I guess I'm just curious what you see in value that I don't.
Yeah, so I'm trying to pull something up. So let's go to, what year was Jordy Nelson drafted?
Jordy Nelson was drafted, that's literally right in front of me. He was drafted in the year 2008. Round 2, pick 5, player 36 off the board.
Yeah, so I guess, like, Jordy Nelson, he was the third wide receiver off the board. And I think that, you know, if you look at all of the ones that came after him, there's only a couple that I recognize just right off the bat. DeSean Jackson, Jerome Simpson are the two that I'd recognize. I'd argue that Jordy had better careers than Jerome Simpson for sure. DeSean Jackson, they'd probably be pretty close as far as just overall career like value. And then, so I guess if you think about like the, something that would have been nice to do is if we were to look at the wide receivers taken and who was taken before them. Sure. So like, for example, in 2015, that was just, I would argue that 2015 is the absolute best wide receiver draft in NFL history, because the first 6 picks, Amari Cooper, dud, Kevin White, stud, Devontae Parker, stud, Nelson Aguilar, stud.
Hey, Devontae Rashad Parker Perriman, just got the bag today. Show a little respect.
Brashad Perriman, stud. Philip Dorsett, stud. Those were the first round wide receivers taken in 2015. I mean, yeah, when you look at that and then you go all the way down to the Vikings, they got Stephon Diggs in the 5th round of that draft. And, you know, other than Ty Montgomery, I think, and Tyler Lockett, there's really nobody better. So I would say that one was, you know, a steal. They won that draft. Good job. As far as wide receivers go. And so I would say, you know, if we had more time to look at it, going back and looking at just the different players by year, who was taken ahead of them, I'm trying to find. Oh, there was not many taken in 2013. Tavon Austin was a first rounder. DeAndre Hopkins, Cordarrelle Patterson. We all know that name. So yeah.
Okay, no, I mean, that's a good point, because I definitely, you know, that's things I probably considered a little bit less, but again, literally this question came up this morning, and we both do work full-time jobs, even if we don't maybe always work as hard as we should on the clock, but I was curious about that. But we'll move on to the Colts here. The Colts I had in third place. They were kind of tied for the Vikings and the Bengals as far as hit score go, or as far as hit score, but then they had much higher hit percentage because they only took 18 receivers over 23 years. So I'm scrolling to get here. This list isn't nearly as long, so I can capture it all easily in one screen here. But Reggie Wayne, obviously that's a point for me. Pierre Garçon, I think, is worth a hit. Austin Collie, I think I gave half a point to. T.Y. Hilton is a hit. Dante Moncrief, not a full point. I think I lumped him in with like a Paris Campbell. And then Michael Pittman looks good. Alec Pierce, I think, was half a point. But they definitely have multiple top-tier guys, and then multiple mid-tier guys, and then even a little bit of filler after that with some, you know, hopefuls from recent drafts. So I think the Colts have done very well from themselves. And I believe you said the Colts were high on your list as well, but is there anything you'd like to speak to on the Colts specifically? But they were my third-place team and only taking 18. I think that's pretty impressive.
No, I think that I agree with that take, that they were pretty solid when it comes to taking the receivers of passes.
All right. Without further commentary there, I will scroll all the way to the bottom here and go to the Vikings. So the Vikings, I also gave us 6 hit points too. I tried my very best to not be overly biased. I knew Josh would absolutely eviscerate me. So I believe I gave...
Hang on, let me pull it up.
I mean, you have access to the exact same spreadsheet I do.
No. I got to get my notes in there.
Okay. Well, I mean, I'll start talking, and then you can come over the top of me. So I believe I don't think I gave Nate Burleson a full point. I think I lumped him in with a bunch of players at the end. But Sidney Rice, I think, was worth half a point. Brilliant definitely a one-season wonder, if you will. But that was a pretty impressive season him and Favre had. So I think I gave Sidney Rice half a point. And then Percy Harvin's obviously worth a full point, so that's 1.5. Cordell Patterson, I gave a full point, too, even if you don't like it. You know, most kick returns in NFL history, I believe. So that's pretty good. So that's 2.5 points. Stephon Diggs, 3.5 points. Justin Jefferson, 4.5 points. And then, you know, you've got some fillers. Like, KJ Osborne's more of a recently biased player, but he seems pretty okay. And then Jarius Wright was a pretty okay player. Again, you lump him in with, like, Nate Burleson and stuff like that. You can get yourself another point and a half. So, you know, definitely some top-tier guys, a couple mid-tier guys, plenty of misses, don't get me wrong. But I think the Vikings have done pretty solid for themselves, and especially if you want to look at value, you know, Stephon Diggs was in the 5th round, and I'm not even giving them credit right now for Adam Thielen, who I guess I did give them credit for. He was in my hit score, but he's on this list in front of us because he wasn't drafted. But being able to find an absolute producer like Adam Thielen, you know, that's pretty impressive as well. So, Vikings...
Well, Thielen found them. He tried out for the team.
Okay.
They asked him to come out there.
They signed him. They could have just said, "Get out of here, loser." But yeah, you said you had your own notes. I think the Vikings, you know, they're not the best team on my list, but I had them in 4th because they didn't have as high of a hit percentage as the Colts did. We've taken 26 receivers since the year 2000, so a little bit more than one a year. But undeniably, there's some talent there, Josh, and I know whether you like it or not, you talked about all the misses that Spielman had, but there's some hits here, and you cannot deny it.
No, you can't. I will say that it's foolish that you give Cordarrelle Patterson a point as a wide receiver drafted. Because his point came from being a kick returner. They did not draft him as a kick returner.
That's part of why you can't ignore that fact. I mean, you don't not draft. They drafted him for his raw athletic ability. He's coming out of what, just one good year at a Tennessee or something like that, I believe. So they're like, all right, this guy was untested. He has raw athletic ability. Let's see what he can do. And he was, you know, what, pick 29, I believe. So, you know, to completely ignore the kick returning aspect, I think is unfair because they had him start at kick returner to start the year. They obviously knew that was going to be part of his game. So to ignore that, I think is silly.
Okay, well, you know, maybe we can rank the best kick returners.
I mean, I gave the Browns a point for Josh Cribbs. Those are the Browns 2 points, Josh Cribbs and Josh Gordon.
Just silly. I'm just kidding. Yeah, I mean, I won't deny that there's talent. It's similar to the Packers, where when you take a wide receiver every year, you take multiple in a year, you hope that you get some hits. It's just that I think that a lot of my joking comes from the, you know, the first round picks have not necessarily panned out to be what you'd hope a first round pick of a wide receiver is. You could say all you want that Cordarrelle Patterson contributed enough to earn himself a point in your eyes. But when you take him at 29 overall, you're not expecting him to solely be used as a kick returner.
Sure,
that's
of course
where
not.
His value comes from.
Yeah.
And so that was one of the things that I always knocked. Laquan Treadwell, same with, and then Percy Harvin. I mean, he had a solid, what, couple years, but he fell off pretty hardcore because of injury, right? He only played 75 games in his career.
It was migraines, yeah, and then we traded him to the Seahawks for a first, yep.
Yep, and then... So I rag on that pick. Not that, you know, I watched him play with as much intensity as I do nowadays with players, but so that's where that comes from. You know, recency, Justin Jefferson in the first has turned that around. And so, you know, we're here, fingers crossed, to it just being a one-hit wonder in the first round, and Jordan Addison reverts back to the old Cordarrelle Laquan days.
How dare you? But yeah, I mean, I think it's hard to deny the Vikings haven't had hits. So we're definitely in the top 5 conversation, I think. So, moving on, this is the reason Eric's listened, or not the reason Eric's listened, the reason Micah listened, excuse me. I give the Colts and the Vikings a little bit more value just because finding the undrafted free agent and Adam Thielen, and then finding Stephon in the 5th, like you said. You know, obviously you do get knocked. Cordarrelle Patterson doesn't live up. Laquan Treadwell, definitely not a great value, but overall, I think the Vikings have found more value than not on my little value scale here. But moving on to the last team here, and my top 5 was the Bengals. Micka raised this question because it's a fair question, but also, you know, he's curious about where the Bengals rank. There's no question about it. So I'll let you go first this time, Josh, if you happen to have the list in front of you. Otherwise, I can just start, you know, blabbing. But what do you think about the Bengals? Were they in your top 5, top 10? I already forget from earlier.
Yeah, they were. I mean, going through here, going all the way back, 2001, Chad Johnson. That's a familiar name for most people.
Oh, yeah. Ocho Cinco, if you're not familiar.
Yeah, he was, you know, he was one of them second rounders. TJ, who's your mama? He's on that list, one hit wonder kind of guy, but he was a big body. He was, I mean, he may have had more than 1 year. Then you got guys like Tab Perry, you know, one of those guys that you'd think, wow, this guy's a legend. They have a
Benny Brazel. I mean, come on, Josh, please.
But I mean, Jerome Simpson, he had that one play where he flipped over a guy and then got
that was
the
pretty
because
sick
of that.
Yeah.
You'd have to be foolish to pay him, but I don't think any team would be stupid enough to do that.
Could you imagine signing him?
Right. AJ Green, I hear he was pretty good in his heyday. Mohamed Sanu, Marvin Jones, Tyler Boyd, John Ross, Auden Bust. Tate is a name that I recognize. T Higgins, Jamar Chase. Maybe in 2024, Josh Mitchell. You never know.
What? Have you declared?
Putting together a tape.
Just going to send it around to some scouts.
Yeah, it's just me catching bottles that Asher throws randomly.
This guy's got hands.
But yeah, I mean, when you look at their, like, kind of where it's spread out, they've had a solid pass-catching option on their roster basically since 2001.
Oh, for sure.
So it's they have that longevity factor.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with you. So I gave, similar to the Colts and the Vikings, I gave the Bengals like 6 quote-unquote hit points. Obviously, Chad Johnson's going to be a full hit point. That's one. And then I don't think I gave him credit again. I might have given him, I think I lumped Jerome Simpson in with a couple other players to get some hits up. Because, I mean, he did have, you know, that one cool play. So, you know. But AJ Green's obviously worth a full point, so that's 2. I think I lumped Mohamed Sanu and Marvin Jones together for 1 point, so that's 3 points. Jamar Chase, you know, I think he's worth a point. I think it's fair, so that's up to 4 points. And then there's just more cannon fodder here, like T. Higgins looks pretty good. Tyler Boyd is good. So, you know, there's, and Mohamed Sanu and Marvin Jones, like we mentioned earlier. So there's definitely players here. The Bengals have drafted receivers well, like you said. There might have been, I guess I don't remember how long Ocho Cinco was on the team. There might have been a slight lull between Ocho Cinco and then AJ Green. But then, yeah, as soon as AJ Green was on the team, they have been absolutely solid through the entire Andy Dalton era. There's no question about that. So the Bengals, Mikko, I don't think you necessarily asked this question just for us to fluff you up a bit. But the Bengals certainly have drafted wide receivers as well. I gave you the exact same amount of hits that I gave to my hometown team. So shout out to the Bengals for being able to get some solid receivers, some top studs, and some important depth pieces as well. I don't think the value was necessarily as valuable as maybe the Colts or the Vikings. I gave the Bengals similarly a 3.5 on value, just because some of their studs were drafted so high. AJ Green was the 4th overall pick. Jamar Chase was the 5th overall pick. But they, you know, there was definitely a find in there or two as well. Chad Johnson was that pick 36 seems to be pretty popular for receivers. I think I looked at 4 or 5 players now were that 5th pick in that 2nd round. So, pick 36 seems to be a good one for receivers. But shout out to the Bengals, dude. Some good value and some top studs as well.
Yeah.
Well, Josh, do you feel like we satisfactorily answered that question for Mika and the other people interested, maybe, a.k.a. Eric's and maybe Walters and maybe Al? Maybe Jack, even, maybe, if he's bored?
Not that bored. He has a child now.
Oh, no. All right. Well,
yeah, we'll say that's good enough. Now we can do the old, this is where we get into the truthiness aspect of things.
All right.
And I know I haven't updated our notes sheet, and I just clicked the random button, and now something's loading on my screen. Hopefully my CPU/tablets can keep up with it.
Yeah, the fact that it's from a Surface is wild, but I suppose you're only calling in and not running the show, but holy shit.
Yeah, so we had the categories here. We're going to change it on the fly. Wide receiver, building a wide receiver with the speed, size, catching,
route.
Oh, you want to read it for me?
Yak. Awareness. And swagger.
Yep. So Nikita and I are watching a show called Swagger.
Okay.
And it's got Ice Cube's kid in it. And it's
oh,
on
hell
Apple
yeah.
Plus. And so I'm just going to have that. I think I'm going to be Daddy Swag. That's I mean, I'm rocking chubby shorts 9 times out of 10, and I have a hat and sometimes a headband, and I wear New Balances. So yeah, Daddy Swag is going to be my new name.
Sure. I'd like to let the record show that I did give both Christian Ponder and Jay Cutler a shout out when we were going to build a quarterback in a previous iteration of these notes. So I just want to, you know, I think it was Christian Ponder's mobility from all our Madden days, and then Cutler's arm strength was undeniable. So maybe someday we'll build a quarterback and I will heavily advocate for Cutler, if not also Ponder.
Well, yeah, but I mean, we'd be using current players. So
Jay Cutler is always current. What do you mean? Jay doesn't give a fuck. That would be the most Jay thing, is to include him in a player of modern players. He's like, I could still do it. I could throw a fucking clear over that mountain.
So, yeah. So, I guess this is where we'll just kind of, I don't know. We won't do rapid fire necessarily. I don't know if we want to collaborate on this and have people just rip our takes, or if we'd rather do, you know, our own. But we'll do a best wide receiver. And then just for, you know, for S's and G's, we'll do the worst wide receiver that we could build. And spoiler alert, Kelvin Benjamin is in the running.
I think the problem was he wasn't running, Josh.
But Gar, when you think speed at the wide receiver position, why is it Christian Watson?
Well, I mean, so it has to be current players? Because, I mean, the first two that come to mind, we were talking about Mike Wallace earlier. He was a super speedy guy. Otherwise, I think of DeSean Jackson. But if it has to be a current player, I can pivot. But those are the two that come to the top of my mind when I think of speed.
Yeah, I guess when I think of speed, if I'm getting rid of that biasy, because, I mean, I was just going to put athleticism on there, but, you know, with the whole RAS scores and everything, my mind instantly goes to, okay, Christian Watson's the most athletic wide receiver to ever be drafted, but there's more to it.
And you're thinking more straight line speed here, because that's what I was thinking of, like literally just straight line speed. That's the Mike Wallace and the DeSean Jackson. This isn't necessarily, agility or like the three cone drill or whatever. This is straight line speed. Or do we agree on that?
I would think straight line speed. My thing, like, and current players, obviously, you know, Mike Wallace was a speedster. DeSean Jackson was a speedster. The two names that come to my mind right now are DK, because of the play where he chased down on the sideline, and then Tyreek Hill. I mean, how can you talk Tyreek Hill when he's, you know, he's the cheetah. That's his nickname.
Right.
So that's kind of why I broke it down, because when you look at athleticism, they factor size in as well. We're not going to pick Tyreek's size. Sorry, buddy. but I would pick Tyreek's speed if we're going with just overall straight speed.
Yeah, I'm down with that. Metcalf was the first player that came to my mind, but, you know, I can't think of all, you know, hundreds of receivers that there are in the league. So I'm definitely fine going with Cheetah. He's, you know, his nickname is Cheetah. So I'm fine with going with Tyreek Hill for his speed here.
All right. What about size?
They're probably not the biggest or the tallest receivers, but when I think of size, I guess I'm thinking of, like, to me, I guess I think of, they're both Mikes, either Mike Evans or Mike Williams. And they're probably not the biggest receivers, but for whatever reason, those are the two that come to the top mind. But please school me if I'm wrong.
I mean, they're big guys. I would go back to the guy that we just talked about with speed, with DK. He's a big boy. So when you think about size, height is obviously a big advantage. That's why guys like Jimmy Graham, Calvin Johnson, they were all kind of...
Calvin was... Megatron was huge, dude.
But you're not going to be... just a quick look. Yeah, Mike Evans is 6'5". He's a big guy. I would say, you know, him... I mean, Lazard, he's not a small dude. He's a big guy too, but I would say Mike Evans is a good pick, because he's kind of, I mean, when you think about big name players, you're not gonna create a wide receiver using Alan Lazard.
No, I was just, if you were gonna lobby for Alan Lazard, I was gonna roast you. So I'm glad you came to that conclusion.
I would say Evans.
All right,
catching. I'll let you lead here.
I mean, the first two that come to mind, and because they have iconic catches, I'm very biased. The first two that came to mind were obviously Vikings. I thought both Justin Jefferson last year and Stephon Diggs. He's not active anymore. Julian Edelman was a guy that came to my mind as well. I wish he was more active. Adam Thielen is, you know, a lot of Vikings are good possession catch guys. But I'm very biased in that, and I can't, you know, I probably can't think of a good possession receiver off the top of my head. So you maybe bring a little less homer-ness to me, because those are all the guys that are coming to my mind.
Well, I can tell you right now, it's not Romeo Doubs or Christian Watson. Both of them had a quite a bit of drops. I believe 16% of Romeo Doubs' passes were dropped. Yep. And only 6% of Christian Watson's, according to one of the sites that I'd read. But no, Justin Jefferson is one that came to my mind. DeAndre Hopkins is another one that comes to my mind. I believe that he had like an entire season with zero drops.
I like Hopkins. Let's go Hopkins, because I think the next category is where I'd much prefer to use Jefferson. But Hopkins has giant hands, dude. Hopkins' hands are huge. Sorry if I cut you off mid-grade thought.
Okay. No, we'll do Hopkins. Route running, this is where we're going to run into some homerism and maybe some controversy here. Jefferson, he'd be up there. He's probably.
If you're not saying he's top two, I was going to say
he's top two is two. Devonta Adams is top two, not two. So I'm sorry, but if you made a grown man cry with your route running abilities, you deserve to be the best.
What did Devonta Adams do last year, though? He can't do it. With just, you know, he can't do without Rodgers.
He had his best statistical career ever.
Best career ever?
Statistic of his career.
I mean, you're control of typing right now. If you want to say Adams, that's fine. I would definitely lobby for Jefferson, and I know the Skull Nation's got my back, but I won't argue the point. I don't care enough.
How dare you? No, both. I mean, like I said, they're both top two. So we could do
without question.
Devonta Jefferson,
if you want.
No, see, and I would honestly do. So if we wanted to get both of our homerisms in here, I would go with Devontae's route running, because even Jefferson said he strives to be like Devontae. I don't know if you remember that post game interview.
I mean, he said that before, and now he believes he's the best wide receiver in the league. So I think in his mind, he has now surpassed Devontae. But he definitely just said that coming in, without question. I'll give credit where credit is due.
Well, we will go with longevity and the route running ability, but then the yards after the catch, this is one where, you know, you could pick quite a few guys. You would never pick anybody like Kyle Rudolph, but he's a tight end. I would say Jefferson's a good fit for this one. He seems to always kind of have those long runs. Then again, most times when I watch him, he's playing against the Packers, and we all know how that defense
goes. I'll be honest. I don't really think, like, I'm not saying Justin Jefferson can't, like, create, you know, but I guess I don't think of Jefferson as a yak guy. That's not, to me, someone that comes to mind would be someone that you're dumping screens to. Like, obviously, we're not going to pick Cordarrelle Patterson, but that's a Cordarrelle Patterson type of player. So I can't think of someone off the top of my head in the NFL who's just like that right now. But that's someone who you dump the ball off to early, and you're like, all right, let this fucker make a bunch of guys miss. Like, someone who always misses that first tackle, so to speak.
So Debo.
Sure. Yeah, I'm fine with Debo.
Yeah, I would say Debo fits into that category quite well.
I don't want the Skull Nation to come after me now, but I don't think Jefferson is known for his yak ability. I think he's much more known for his route running and catching. But yeah, I'm fine with Debo for yak for sure.
Yeah, I'm trying to think. I mean, it's tough because there's so many wide receivers on so many teams. But yeah, Debo's one that comes to mind. I mean, they have an entire playbook surrounded around him to get him the ball out of the backfield. I mean, Tyreek Hill is another one. You know, if we wanted to use him multiple times, we probably could in this category.
Sure.
Screw it. Let's just go with Kevin White. He's still in the league, right?
I don't think he is.
Oh, he is. Awareness. This one's obvious. This one is Claypool.
Is it? How about Juju?
No, we're doing the worst. So we're not doing the worst. So it wouldn't be Claypool. Awareness wise, I mean, that's kind of a tough one. To me, that would be like creating separation, getting open. That would be like your, if we're sticking to homerism, since most people will be listening, that's going to be like your Thielen, your for Nelson, sure. Your Jefferson would fall under this category as well, because route running and catching all has to come into play in this one.
I think the number one guy for this would be Kelce. He's not a receiver, but I think Kelce would be like the exemplary, like guys who's like not necessarily always going off script, but you know, it's the type of player like you could probably put Devonta here as well, maybe, but it's just like guys who're like they see the hole in the zone. They maybe, you know, they're just aware of what's, you know, like you said, they're aware of what's happening around them. So I think Thielen would be a good play. I don't know if he's I don't know if he's there these days anymore. Maybe not as much, but I think Thielen, maybe Cooper Kupp. you know, a lot of people like to argue he's in the system, but Cooper Kupp can produce without question. I think he's pretty rare. I think the number one guy for me would be Kelsey, but I'm welcome to, since we're talking receivers, I'm welcome to what you think. But
yeah, I mean, if we wanted to get your, if we want to get the plug in for your homerism, this is where I'd toss in Jefferson, because he does have, you know, he sits in the zone well. He knows situation. He's, yeah. I'm thinking of the, what was it, like that fourth down play against Buffalo where he went right to the sticks, jumped up, caught it. Like, he has to time that just perfectly. He has to be aware of where the sticks are. He has to come down with it, make sure it's a catch. That was one of the best plays I've seen.
I mean, don't get me wrong. I will not sit here and argue the point. If you want to get a Viking in there, I will not argue. I guess to me, the play that sticks out like a sore thumb to me is, because I do think he had, like, when he has a route tree with options, I'm sure Jefferson is almost always picking the right option based on what the defenders are doing. So Jefferson's probably a good pick. The only one play that I knock him for, I think it was this year against the Eagles, week two. Maybe it was last year. It was whatever game. It was a game we played against the Eagles. The safe, you know, Darius Slay, like, kind of baited him. Like, you know, Jefferson decided, he's like, oh, I'm going to go above the top here. And then Kirk was like, nah, when Slay's playing like that, you got to go underneath. And then it was an easy pick. So I don't know if you want to blame Kirk for that. You want to blame Jefferson for that. But as I understand it, Jefferson kind of went off script. But Kirk, you know, Kirk isn't always known for going off schedule like that. So, but, you know, I'm totally fine. I'm thinking, you know, Jefferson is great at, yeah, you know, choosing at the top of his route tree.
Awareness is a tough category for us to judge. So why don't we just eliminate it and say that, you know, we consider Jefferson as part of it.
Sure.
We'll just go right on to swagger. And this is where we're going to go ahead and put in the number one most swag worthy swagger man of all time.
Ryan Fitzpatrick.
Absolutely. Doesn't matter what position.
Yeah, I wasn't sure. I mean, I thought of Deshaun Jackson again. I really think Deshaun Jackson was known for his swagger quite a bit. But as far as active players go, I don't know. No one comes to the top of my mind. And I know there's plenty of, you know, people listening right now who are screaming, why aren't you thinking of this player and their swagger? But no one's jumping out to the top of my mind as far as current players go. But maybe it's because I'm the problem.
Yeah, I mean, I guess if we were going to go with my dad's swagger, I'd probably go with Cooper Kupp or, you know, a white.
okay.
But
the old Dave swagged in.
Yeah. I don't know. I guess it just kind of depends on how you define it, too. I mean,
I think, because
some people think that the bold and the loud are the people are, they have swag, whereas I'm like, I like Devontae's swag, where it's more of a, I'll let my play do the talking type of deal. The quiet swagger.
Sure.
Not necessarily the most vocal.
Sure.
At least he hasn't been. So I guess it all just kind of depends. People would obviously make a push for Jefferson.
Yeah, I mean, the gritty has become pretty iconic. Obviously, it wasn't necessarily, I don't think he invented it or whatever, as an LSU thing, right? Plenty of people did, but he certainly popularized it. The moment that came to my mind, which was, you know, it's more of a celebration move, but the moment that came to my mind was actually Mike Thomas when he broke whatever Saints receivers record, and like he had hid a phone in the behind the padding on the upright, and he pulled out like a cell phone. Like, to me, that's a giant swagger move. So Mike Thomas is the one that comes to the top of my mind. But if you want to say no, that's totally fine, because I don't think either of us are qualified to define swagger as white men.
Yeah. Whoa. No, that is, you can't. Yeah. I would consider that to be a pretty ballsy, swaggy move.
Pretty swaggerish.
Especially because it was in the end zone that he did it in.
All right, now we're almost at an hour, but now do we want to build our worst wide receiver here and then get the hell out of here?
Yeah, we can make this one a little bit quicker. And so, speed. Who would be the worst speed demon wide receiver?
I mean, would it be Calvin Benjamin?
Active roster.
Oh fuck, bro! I don't know why you got to do this active roster shit to me. Can I go on to keep trade cut real quick and reverse the rankings? No, it doesn't look like I can. Yeah, I don't know, man. I don't know who's really known for being slow. Like, I don't. No disrespect to the receivers.
I mean, don't get many wide receivers that are slow. I always think back to the Green Bay Packers. Lazard isn't going to blaze by anybody. I can tell you that much.
Okay.
Like, Lazard is not the fastest. Thielen probably has lost a step or three. Yeah, we're gonna go with Kelvin Benjamin. He's always active yeah, on the buffet.
All right, what's the next category here?
Size wise, Devonta Smith. I'm sorry, you don't have a say.
I mean,
in this
isn't
one.
Jordan Addison even smaller? I mean, but I hear what you're saying.
No, I mean, I would say that using a rookie in this one is kind of unfair.
Sure.
But yeah, size wise, Devonta Smith. The only thing I could think of is they had him lined up at tight end one play in preseason.
He was supposed to block for some D end, and then he got absolutely fucking mollywopped.
Yep.
Oh god.
Catching, we already talked about
Christian
him.
Watson. Oh
no, Romeo Dobbs. He was benched last year because of it.
I'm down for it. Route running. I don't know who would be terrible at route running. I don't.
I mean, we could knock DK because of his route tree that they claim to be an issue. He just gets over it with his pure athleticism.
Sure. Yeah, if you want to say DK, that's
no,
fine.
No, I'm not saying saying that. Yeah, route running is a tough one.
How about
on this
someone
one.
Garbage like Jalen Reagor? I don't know.
Oh, yeah. I mean,
I don't know why he's bad, but that works fine for me.
Yards after catch.
That would be a Kyle Rudolph if it ever could be. Kyle Rudolph never. I mean, he probably had negative yak, to be honest.
Well, no, yeah, no. It was like Tom Brady's rush yards just hovering right over that line.
Exactly. He just catches the ball and falls over. There's no within 5 yards. He's just like, nope, I'm not risking it. But yeah, I don't know as far as receivers go.
Yeah, yak wise, that's kind of a tough one because a lot of times they're just getting hit right away. So we'll go with Kelvin Benjamin again.
Just because he can't run. Oh, fuck.
Yeah.
Oh, shit.
We'll add awareness back in just so I can put Claypool.
Claypool is. Or maybe self-awareness. Juju Smith-Schuster might lack a lot of self-awareness.
No, I feel like self-awareness could be used for almost all wide receivers in the NFL.
Sure.
Maybe not all of them. A good handful of Steelers wide receivers. I mean, a good handful of wide receivers.
Antonio Brown, yeah.
Antonio Brown, Juju Smith-Schuster, Chase Claypool. Apparently, was it Deontay Johnson that stood up like a kids YMCA fundraiser?
It might be. I don't know, dude.
And then Swagger. The worst swagger for wide receivers, Hunter Renfro. I think that's a unanimous decision.
He's, dude, yeah, I just, right as you said his name, all I could picture was a shitty little sleeper pick where he's, like, very clearly balding, which I am too, don't get me wrong, but he is white, he looks middle, he looks like he's 40 for some reason. I think Hunter Renfro being the worst swagger in the NFL. There could be good picks or fellow good picks, but I think Hunter Renfro, you cannot be wrong with having some of the worst swagger. I subscribe
yeah,
to
so,
that.
Yeah, so, ladies and gentlemen,
maybe
I
Cole
now present
Beasley
to
with
you.
His terrible raps, but.
Oh, God. The worst wide receiver created by us, Kelvin Benjamin's speed, Devonta Smith's size, Romeo Dobbs' catching ability, route running, Jalen Reagor, yards after catch, Kelvin Benjamin, awareness, Chase Claypool, swagger, Renfro. I name him Jordan Addison.
Beautiful. And then I think I cut you off what you're going to do, but recap our best receiver as well.
Best wide receiver, we've got the speed of Tyreek Hill, Mike Evans' size, DeAndre Hopkins' catching ability, the route running of Davante Adams, yards after catchability of Debo, and then the swag of Mike Thomas.
Beautiful. Well, Josh, is that a fucking pod or what, pal?
Yeah, we'll see if we get a listen.
Well, I guarantee we'll get at least 4 listens. I feel confident in getting 4 listens.
3 of them are you re-listening it?
Well, no. See, I listened to the raw MP3 file. I do not boost our numbers through my own listening, Josh. I have integrity, okay?
So you don't sit there like Walters and have it on a repeat at 5x speed playing through your car when you're driving to work?
Are you telling jokes?
Maybe.
All right. Anything else you want to say to the beautiful folks before we get out of here?
No. Go Packers.
All right, everyone. Thank you so much for listening. This was kind of a sloppy pod, but Josh and I were just having fun. Again, it's the dead days of summer. Who really gives a fuck right now? We will be back in July, and then, you know, next thing you know, it'll be preseason. I think I just saw a post on Reddit today. It says we're 74 days away from red zone. So 74 days away from most teams kickoff, and then that's probably, what, 71 days until, you know, the first game of the season? So I hope, you know, people realize we're less than 100 days. It is coming, and it is coming quick. Stay safe out there in this heat and this poor air quality. We will be back in July. I'm not going to play an outro song this time, so you can just stop listening in 5, 4, 3, 2.
Boom!